Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
What is up?
Not much. I was looking at my levels. They looked a little high, so sorry if I blew you guys out, your ears out right at the beginning, but you know, it usually happens.
We still got to figure out the levels with the ads, because the ads start off, I'll try to check and listen to our own podcast with the guests, and the ad levels are super high.
Really?
So you get hit with bullshit ad, and then it's and you gotta crank it up, and I think then it interrupts later in the podcast with, so we gotta maybe do something about that. I don't know if those ads are worth the revenue that,
right? Yeah, we could just take them off the middle. That way it's just before and after or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm gonna start us off with a quote today, because you didn't have one ready, which is fine, because we were talking about all sorts of other stuff before we started. But then I have something that will go along with all the house stuff that we got. All right, here we go. The perimeter's quiet. Yeah, a little too quiet. Well, that was easy. Yeah, a little too easy. Look, it's a raft. Yeah, a little too raft. Do you know what that's from?
What's that from?
Hopefully, people that are listening who are our age, around our age, know what that's from, because that's like ingrained in my memory from childhood.
It sounds familiar.
That is a quote from Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze.
Dang.
But that specifically, they're like going into some Foot Clan, you know, hideout thing or something. And or no, I guess Raphael was like kidnapped or something, so he's like tied up, and so Michelangelo and Donatello and Leonardo are going to save him, and they're like sneaking in, and that's what he's like, they're like, the perimeter's quiet. And I forget who it is, it's Leonardo. He's like, yeah, a little too quiet. And then Donatello is like, well, that was easy. And Leonardo, yeah, a little too easy. And then they see Raphael tied to a post. And Donatello's like, look, it's Raph. Michelangelo says, yeah, a little too Raph. I don't know why that like stuck in my brain, but that the reason why I was thinking about that is because...
Yeah, why were you thinking of Ninja Turtles 2?
For my house. Well, so it's called The Secret of the Ooze.
Oh, boy.
And I have a mysterious ooze in my house.
You have a green ooze?
It's not green. It's just oozy.
Well, you know, and I wanted to turn your basement into like a underground subway wonder world, you know, with all types of cool lights and stuff, like the Ninja Turtles have.
Oh, that would be sweet. Like, yeah, with a subway, like, yeah. Like going to, like subway car or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I might dig that.
You down at Cola. You didn't want a pub.
Yes.
I didn't want a subway car either. Well, you didn't say no subway car.
Sorry.
So you got to be specific. You didn't say no subway car modeled after Ninja Turtles 1 and 2.
Oh, man. I think it was Ninja Turtles 2. Maybe, I forget, because wasn't there, I guess their hideout order was found, and
I think I watched one the most. Yeah, the hideout was found. They're in New York, so it was found right away. You need somewhere for the Ninja Turtles to hang and party.
No, it was like where they were was found, and the Foot Clan came and like destroyed everything and like beat up Splinter or something, right? So then they went and they found a new location, and they brought Splinter there to that like their new sweet spot, like the abandoned rail car or whatever, subway car underneath. Yeah,
sweet.
Well, so we could do a little talking about the house, like you call the this old house segment.
Right. This old shop.
Yeah, this old, yeah, right. So,
so what's wrong this week?
Well, the ooze, there's like in our coat closet on the in the foyer of the first floor. I noticed like some water, what I thought was water, on the floor of it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's weird. There's like water here. And I kind of touched it and it's like a little bit oily, but it doesn't have any smell. Mm. So it's like a goo kind of. And I'm like, it's weird. It's not like, doesn't feel like straight oil, but it definitely is more oily than water. But the wall that it's coming from, or it's like coming underneath the trim from the right wall, the wall goes upstairs and then up straight to the attic. Like there's no water. There's nothing connecting that wall to like the bathroom on the second floor. So like if you were to walk up my stairs to the second floor, you walk up and then you turn to the right, that wall on your right is the wall that goes down to the closet. The wall on your left is the wall that's the bathroom wall. Mm. So it's like that wall on the right going straight down past the stairs down to the closet, there's water there or like some ooze. I was like, I don't know where it can be coming from. The only thing I can think of logically is that it's like somehow seeping from potentially something in the bathroom, like across the steps or something, or running along something. But from what I can see, everything like underneath, like I can't see anything from the stairs that go down to the basement. So underneath, there's no stain. Mm. There's no stain like on the wall. Inside the closet, there's no water stain in the basement underneath of where it's wet in the closet. So it's not like seeping down. So it's just this like little bit of oozy goo or oily water or whatnot on the floor in the closet. And we can't figure out where it's coming from. And we had when the plumber was over, did the work that we talked about last week in the basement. Nicole asked him about it and pointed it out to him, and he had no answer for it. He was like, I have no idea where that's coming from. Like, and he was even looking at the bathroom, plumbing and stuff for the shower, because our hot water at our sink in the bathroom doesn't work. It's like, there's no water going to it at all. There's no hot water line. So he was looking at like replacing it, and he opened it up and he was like, man, this is like super, super old plumbing, like as old as the house plumbing, like the stuff coming from the tub and what. So he was kind of looking there, but he didn't see anything. So, but I don't know. So the secret of the ooze persists. I don't know where it's coming from. It's not like spreading, you know, it's like kind of like oily where it is, and I've wiped it up, but it kind of like seeps back again. So I don't know. I don't know if there was something on the floor there that like when it gets warm in the house, it like, you know, or when it gets warm or cold, like the wood is expanding and contracting. It's just like where it was wet and it's like coming up or something.
It comes up through the wood floor.
It's coming from, like, if I open the closet, it's coming from a foot back in on the right side. Like, it looks like it's coming from underneath the trim on the inside of the closet onto the floor. So it's coming out about, like, 8 or 9 inches and like, this puddle.
Well, pull the trim off.
Yeah, I know. I will. I got to do that eventually. I did try to, like, just pull it, but it's really tight back in there because it's, like, the original trim and everything's, like, fit really nicely and tightly, so... But that's other than the fact that it is a weird mystery that I don't have an answer for, it's not something that seems immediate, so it's got to live with just the secret of the ooze for a little while.
Yeah, it's hard with old houses. It's how much do you chase and how much do you just...
Right, just deal with.
You obviously can't redo the whole thing.
Right.
And no one, not, you know... Rich people can do a whole makeover for $100,000. Yeah, normal humans, just we gotta live with it and fix little bits at a time.
Right. So the other thing, so I have, so things that I've fixed, Well, one was like just the light bulbs in the hood of the above the stove. Felt good about that. Like nothing was working, so I took everything out and wiggled things around. I got some flashes and
light bulbs.
One bulb was broken, so I got those two out, put those new ones in. So check that off the list.
You feel like a real handyman.
That's right, buddy. Change the light bulbs. The washer, it was filling with water, but then no spin cycle and no draining. Yeah. So I investigated that, played around with the latches and stuff, that when you close the door, it hits the latch, and that keeps, that's like the safety latch, so that way you can't, you know, water doesn't fly out, or you don't put your arm in when the thing is spinning, you know.
Yeah.
100 revolutions a, you know, a minute or yeah. whatever.
Right.
Or a second, I should say. So I figured out that switch and ordered a new one. Had to put that in usually, and I actually did that at our old place. The switch went up, and I figured it out because I, like, you know, I kind of set the washer to drain or spin or whatever, and rinse. And so then I was playing around with the little latch, pushing it out, and it seemed like it was working. But then, you know, when I held it a certain way and pushed it a certain way, then it engaged and the thing started working. You know, so I was like, okay, well, it's definitely the latch. So bought that and replaced that. But last time I did it, I was able to take the top of the washer off and then flip it over and then access all that latch stuff from the underneath.
Uh-huh.
But this one, I couldn't get it off because all the bolts are like in underneath and super hard to get and all rusty. Mm. So I had to like take it off without taking the top off. So I had to, like, you know, the basin or whatever of the washer, I'm like pushing it sideways and stuff to like move it around to reach my hands in. So that's gonna be a while, but I was eventually able to get everything out and rewire and plug everything back in. And so that's working. So I got that. So that was a, you know, random, like, oh, the washer's not working, you know, got that one checked off the list.
Yeah.
This is just a step that we're doing. We removed all the vinyl floor in the kitchen. Okay. And below that is like an MDF layer. It's like a subfloor. And it looks like that's just sitting on top of the original oak. We haven't started pulling that up yet, but that should be good. We should be able to get all that off and just get back to our original oak flooring, which is cool.
And that goes right straight down to your basement.
I think there's some other layer below that.
It's not, but I'm saying it's not. Right below it is the basement. Not yes. something else. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. Right below the kitchen is the basement. Yeah.
That is the good thing about having the basement. Is,
right.
Yeah, there's something under it that yeah. isn't blowing air from outside into your
right.
floors, which is the problem with my right. house.
Yeah.
Is it has one crawl space in the middle, but then the whole kitchen and some of the living room, it's all kind of, you know, it's the floor. It's the kitchen and then
yeah.
wood flooring and then basically nothing under it.
Yeah, right.
Open crawl space just gets so cold.
Yeah.
In the winter because it's just, it's, yeah. But yeah, that, at least there's that.
Yeah.
So you get some positives and then there's yeah. other negatives of having right. pipes that go up above your head.
Yeah.
And toilets, right. you know, on another floor above you. That's a whole.
And, like, you know, I don't ever have to worry about pipes freezing. Obviously, yeah. unless, like, my heat goes out completely, right? But, yeah. like, none of my pipes are outside. Mm-hmm. Everything is, like, in the house, in the basement. Yeah. It's nice.
It's a learning process.
Yeah. And the last thing, which was interesting, popped up out of nowhere. I was, let's see, on Saturday. Yeah, Saturday morning, I think. Yeah, Saturday morning, I was, like standing by the coffee maker in the kitchen, which is against the window, you know, it's like under the cabinets on the left of the window in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I noticed there's like some water on the counter around the coffee maker. So I just kind of assumed that it was, you know, the like steam or something from it kind of pooled and somehow, you know, I just assumed it was a coffee maker because that's the only thing sitting on the counter that's using water other than the sink, you know? So I like kind of cleaned that up and then I noticed it later again. And I was like, why is there water here again? Like there's nothing happening. Cause it wasn't like, you know, it was like one, I saw like a water stain, like the, second or third day we were moved in here, or what, a fourth day or whatever. And so I cleaned that up. It was like I could see where there was some water, and I thought maybe the coffee maker was dripping or something. But then there were like a few days in a row where the coffee maker was fine. So I'm like, I don't know. It's not the coffee maker. Like, what's making this water? And so then when I noticed it again a little bit later, I looked and I saw that it was coming from, you know, it was pulling and running forward underneath the coffee maker, but from the wall behind the coffee maker. So I look over and I'm like, move the coffee maker out of the way. And I see the water and it's going to the back and then up the little backsplash, and it's going, not going up the wall, but I'm following it backwards, and I'm looking up the wall, inside the cabinets, all the way up to the ceiling. I see drips of water coming down the wall, and I'm like, what the heck? So right above our kitchen in that spot is where the bathroom shower is. Mm. And Kryn was taking a shower, and so like there's water coming down the wall from her taking a shower. I was like, oh no. So I like came upstairs and I'm like, all right, there's water coming from the shower somehow. The shower is not like sealed or caulked or whatever well enough, because there's water running down the wall into the kitchen. So once she like finished getting out of the shower, I looked, and basically there was like a bunch of grout just missing in between the tile in the bathroom. And it's like, you know, small enough gaps between the tile, we just didn't really notice it, you know. It was like, but then once I saw it, I'm like, oh yeah, there's like multiple pieces of tile that have grout just missing completely. And so the water was just like hitting the wall and just going through behind the tile, running down the back of the wall, and then, you know, running straight down to the kitchen. I was like, oh man. So went out, got some grout, got some more caulk, and re-grouted all the, you know, kind of pulled out everything, cleaned it all, pulled out all the anything that was loose, and then re-grouted the whole big area. And now there's no water. So
there you go.
But that may be some type of clue to the secret of the ooze, because if there's water coming from the bathroom into the rest of the house, that might have meant that there is like some seepage of water somehow coming across, you know, into the other walls or whatever. Like if there was some wetness, it may have crawled over somehow and down and out. So
right.
I'm hoping that this now means that will stop that. Oh. And but Nicole was like, why would it be oily? And I was like, I don't know. Like, it's an old house that's made out of like pine and oak. It could just be running through enough wood that was like sappy and it's picking up some sap oily.
Yeah, I mean, it's muck. It's old mucky things in the walls. Old, just it's dirty.
Yeah, plaster and metal and rust and right. But like, it doesn't smell at all, you know? So like, and that's what the plumber said. He's like, yeah, it's definitely oily and there's no smell. So that's why I'm thinking it's just like some type of wood residue, and the wood's old enough that it's not like, you know, fresh wood. It's just, it's just picking up a bunch of stuff along the way and it's becoming oily.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's the only logical reason. Like, the only other thing that makes sense is that if we have a ghost living in the closet and it's cool, putting ooze on the bottom, like, okay. That's the next best logical thing.
Yeah.
Well, so I think that's it. Let's see. Goo in the closet. Yep. Light, washer, water in the kitchen, and then remove the vinyl floor.
Did you have off this week or is that next week?
No. I have off next week. Other thing I did yesterday. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you want to spend a few hours, come over to my house.
Mm-hmm.
We got to tear that shed down.
Which one?
Because these chickens.
Oh, that corner.
These chickens are getting
big. Yep.
And stinky and dusty. Like the amount of dust they put out. Because, you know, they're shavings and stuff. And they got feathers. Right. And it's just they're constantly moving. And now they're, like, fighting. And you know.
Dang.
Yeah, chickens are real mean to each other. Hence the name pecking order.
Yeah, right. You know,
they really do figure out a pecking order. And I think we got a rooster. One's trying to crow. So.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like it's dying, but it's the biggest
dinner.
It's the biggest and it's making a lot of noise, you know. But what we do here is having one's pretty good for predators,
right?
And yeah, they fertilize eggs, but also an egg has to sit for a long time to really be to notice, you know.
Right. Yeah, a difference.
Maybe you'll have a dot of something in there, but you won't notice. And I don't think I'd have a problem. I don't think it would weird me out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just won't look close. I'll just crack it. And
yeah, if you see a little, like a little weird, like brown speck, you know, and take it out. Like a little piece of eggshell.
He's a baby.
Yeah.
But yeah. So maybe come over for a couple hours, or maybe when it's their nap and we can we can like tear it down.
Yeah, man. Hook it up
to I might have to hook it up to your truck because mine's not available.
Well, you have your father-in-law's truck, right? Mm-hmm. You have it.
Yeah, four-wheel drive. Whether I want to actually use that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a beast. But
that's what I'm saying. Mine doesn't have four-wheel drive, so, you know.
It's too nice to mess up.
That's a truck, man. That's what you're supposed to use it for. Be like, sorry, Dave, I put a dent in the side of your truck.
Yeah, I don't want to do it. Yeah. But anyway, so I don't know. I think we can push it over. You know, it's
Yeah.
It's just so much crap in it.
Right.
Mom and Dad left a lot of stuff here. And they're like, oh yeah, that was full.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it was full.
I'm like, well, it's going down.
All going to the trash, to the dump. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm definitely I'm down to help out because I'll need as much help as possible this weekend and into the next week for putting up fences. That's the next big thing. I got to get my fences in. So, just yesterday and today, I removed, like, all of the bushes and trees along the right side of my property going back, or basically from the house to the back of the shop. There was just, like, all junk and bushes there. Bushes and, like, small trees and stuff. So I removed all that. There's, like, a row of maybe 40 feet or so long that are, like, big... I forget what they're called, but kind of like juniper or like type bushes that kind of have that like dark green, shiny leaves, you know, like rhododendron-y type things. Those are fine. They're staying, but they're also, they were like really big and leaning really far into our yard. So today I like trimmed all those back. And now my hands and arms are covered in scratches and tiny, splinters. Like, I have so many tiny splinters in my fingers and hands and, like, wrists. It's like, ugh. But it, like, had to all come out because that's where I'm running the fence, you know, along that side. So all that stuff has to be clear so that way on Saturday and Sunday we can auger holes in the ground and put in fences along a side relatively straight. Yeah. So, like, so when you walk out the back door now, it's like all open to the right, so you can kind of see through into like the parking lot on the right side. But yeah, a lot of work yesterday. I was like, I got home at probably.
Did you want to take that down? Then you can see all that stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean I had to take it down because if we have to put the fences there. Yeah. Like if I left it, I would lose like 10 feet. Of the right side of my property going back, you know? So like I had to cut it all back and it's all just trash. It's all just trash bushes and trees and like junky stuff and like a gigantic pricker bush, you know, like it's just junk. Like it had to come out. And so like, we'll run the fence, like, you know, close to the edge of the property and then we'll plant new bushes there. Right. So that way it will build back up and create a little bit of a privacy screen. But for now, it had to go because it was just too much junk and, you know, just like big twisted vines and stuff and crazy bushy things. It's all stuff that's going to take a while to actually get rid of. And we'll be having to be like cutting and trimming it back and mowing over it for, you know, the next while, like all spring and into the summer and all. But we also had this crazy ass like plant called the Devil's Walking Stick. Which is like, it just grows these like straight, like brittle plants that grow straight up, and they're just covered in prickers, like small and big. And so like perfectly straight, like so they call it the Devil's Walking Stick because it's like all these walking sticks that are just like so spiky. Fortunately, they're pretty brittle, so you can kind of either just like step on them or like chop them. I've had my machete and I'm just out there like cutting stuff down. So there were two or three big ones like in the bushes that were, you know, the actual base of them were 6 or 7 inches in diameter. So like giant, you know, trees, and they send out all these little shoots that come up from the ground. So there's like all the little walking sticks. So, It's a very like invasive plant. So I cut all that down to the ground. And fortunately, we have a property where at the very back of our yard is like public woods. You know, it's like not owned by anybody. It's owned by the public, you know, whatever, by the the state. And our the last like maybe 30 feet of our yard, 20 or 30 feet of our yard is all like woods, right? So the yard goes back, but it doesn't, it's not like mown all the way to the end of our property. There's like some of our property that's in
woods. So those woods are, some of that is yours?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of woods, like, cause our property goes back. And then the last maybe like 50 feet on the left side of the property to about to the back corner at a diagonal, there's woods that are on our property, and maybe back a little bit, maybe like 10 feet on the right side. So that's like the woods cut diagonally across our property on the back. So we've been like all the like piles and piles of brush and bushes and trimmings and stuff. We're just dragging to the back of the property and throwing in the woods. You know, it's like, thank goodness I have something like that.
Burn some.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So everything that's like big branches and stuff that are burnable, I'm like putting into one big pile, and then everything else that's just
same
like
thing, same bushes. Thing with our spot. We have a little bit of woods around the edge,
mm-hmm.
and some woods that aren't ours. We're half in their spot, but it's no one uses that land.
Yeah, right.
So maybe one day someone will come along, and if they wanted to build there, they'd be pissed. But I, you know, it's only leaves and brush. I'm not
right. Yeah,
someone
exactly.
did at one time. Put a dump a bunch of actual stuff back there,
right?
Like you know, stone and cement and big chunks of wood. I don't know if it was dad or not, or someone before them, because it, you know, the house was like, apparently they had a bunch of animals here,
right
and horses and all types of weird, you know, whatever weird goats and stuff, so
yeah That's like one of those old house things, you know, there's always like just a pile of debris like in the woods, you know, like in the back of mine, there's like piles in the back that have like old crockery and glass and, you know, like,
yeah,
just like the dumping spot where people dump stuff back in the day, you know, concrete blocks that are broken up and stuff. Like,
right. I need to go real country and get a hole, a nice hole.
Just dig a big hole.
Thing. There's a lot of things like people talk about when they would bury like fridges and stuff.
Yeah, right. In
like,
Texas.
It's like, hey, I can dig it and pour, throw that crap in there.
Yeah, dig a big pile.
So I was thinking when I saw your video of chopping stuff down. Now, you did a lot and you were like working.
Yeah.
Because I remember saying something like that when I first got this house.
Right.
That it felt good clearing something.
Oh,
and making the decision on my own.
Yep.
Going, this is my thing. I mean, and then getting rid of it. But it's like, you're not asking anyone. You're going, you're just making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is here. This is, I'm just going to cut down.
Yeah, right.
That did feel good. I was wondering if you had the same feeling when you were clearing some of that stuff.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, this has got to go, and I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't have to ask anybody. I don't have to worry if it, like, you know, the landlady is going to be like, hey, cut that thing down, you know, like, just like, hey, you know, the only person I have to worry about is Nicole. I'm like, what do you think? Can I cut this down? She's like, yeah, sure. I'm like, sweet.
Yeah, it's gone. It's a great.
She's like, get rid of it. Yeah. It's
good.
And obviously, like, those trees that were on the side of the shop, like, they were just like junk trees that grew up fast through the trash can and, you know, weren't trimmed when they should have been, like, very early on. And so I'm like, well, like, I don't want them growing next to my shop, so cut them down. So I have three kind of interesting neighbors as of right now, or not three neighbors, but like three people that I know. I have Tom, Frank, and Bob. Like very normal white dude names. Frank is our neighbor to the north. He's got two buildings up to the north. And he's the one that I think we talked about. He introduced us when we were moving in, or introduced himself when we were moving in. He's smoking a cigar, an older dude, you know. He's a lawyer, I think, or he's a legal advisor. So he has his office out of there. He kind of walks around and he kind of feeds the deer and stuff in the backyards. It's like all these like piles of corn at the back of his property. And he's got a little yappy dog, but that's fine, you know. And he's a nice guy.
We need to come up with a fake name for these people so they don't get angry at you.
You know.
And later on, you're complaining about Bob, and then He uses it in his legal practice to. Dustin said he did this. He cut this thing down. He's supposed to.
Nah, I don't have anything bad about them. They're just quirky people. Yeah. You know, and so like, yeah, so he's got that. He was like, oh, you're going to cut up this tree. You're going to use it. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to cut up and, you know, use it for firewood or whatever, burn pile or, you know, have a little fire pit and stuff. And he's like, okay, I got a chainsaw if you want to borrow it. So like, you know, pretty friendly guy, which is great. Yeah. So he's been like kind of wandering around. He'll kind of walk into my yard and chat sometimes, which is cool. Mm-hmm. And then there's Bob. So Bob is, the owner of the house right to the south of us behind, that's the parking lot attached to it. So Bob's super nice guy, older guy, you know, he introduced himself one day and I got home and he had already been talking with Nicole for a little while. And, every time I do anything like over this like week, you know, cutting down the trees and cutting shrubs and stuff and moving things and getting that trash can out from through the tree, you know, he's always like, he comes out and he's like, all right. He's like, about time somebody did that. You know, like, about time that got done. You know, so I think I'm just like bettering the property. It's the things that he would have done.
You're like see, you know, how I feel when I'm, remember this, when I'm smithing for 2 hours.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right. So what the hell? You really have a, they're going to be a little surprised.
Yeah, I was out like chopping stuff with an axe yesterday and he was getting out of work, you know, getting ready to head home or whatever. And he's like, you're a real Paul Bunyan over there, aren't you? I was like, hey, I'm trying to keep it up appearance over here. So out there chopping things down. But yeah, so that's Bob, super nice guy. And he was like, yeah, you know, feel free to use the parking lot whenever you need to, you know. So he's like definitely a good dude.
That's nice.
And then I met Tom today, and Tom is the cat guy. So,
yeah,
the back of our property, there's a lot of like stray cats, and there are also like homemade cat houses, multiple cat houses, and then piles of cat food and cans of, or like, you know, cups and stuff of food all over the place. So Tom's the cat guy. He's the one that feeds them. He doesn't live near here, but, or I don't know where he lives exactly, but he came by today and introduced himself, and he was like, you know, and I told him we're putting up fences because we have dogs, but the back of the property won't be like completely fenced over so that the cats can still go around if they'd like to. And he's like, all right, cool. And he said that like he like kind of feeds and maintains the cats in multiple places around. He's like, this is like one of the places he does. But he said most of them, all the ones that he recognizes and he knows, most of them, they're all like spayed and neutered. And so they've been like captured and, you know, spayed or neutered and then let go. So, and then so he has like, he kind of takes care of them. So,
see, this is why I want you to come up with fake names so I can talk shit on him a little bit.
Well, it's too late now.
Yeah.
Maybe that is their fake names. Tom, Frank, yes, and Bob.
Yeah, sounds very simple. Joe, Bob, and... But also, you have... Well, all I'll say, and Tom, Mike, or whatever your name is, don't get mad at Dustin. Dustin seems perfectly happy with you doing it. I would say, don't bring extra animals to a place that's not yours. If you want to have cats at your place, then have cats.
Yeah.
But cats are, like, the most resourceful creature on the planet. They will find food.
Well, he's like, not.
That's
he's
what not they like, do. But he's feeding right. them.
He is, but
you don't he's need not to feed it a cat. On my that's property. That's like feeding a mouse.
Yeah, right.
They will find food, and not to mention these fat cats—they're not hunting mice around your spot because they're all they don't need it.
Well, that's
they're not funny. Desperate for food.
Yeah. So Nicole was talking to Frank about the cats and stuff, and saying how like she was like a little worried about like, you know, we want to have bird like, you know, feeders and stuff out, so it's like, you know, a little worried about the cats scaring off the birds. But Frank was like, yeah, he's like none of these cats, I've never seen them, you know, like go after a bird or whatever. He's like, what they do though is they chase the squirrels. Like they'll climb up trees after squirrels, which is crazy. So, and Nicole's like, well, that actually is good because we want to keep the squirrels away from the bird feeders, so if the cats are here chasing away the squirrels, like, okay. But all the like the feed and the cat boxes and stuff, they're not on my property, right? So it's not like
they're not on his property either.
Right, but they're on the neighbor's property, and I guess the neighbor allows that.
Yeah, I mean, so. I guess it's up to the neighbor.
And that's what Tom said, too. He was like, yeah, thanks for, like, letting me do this. And he's like, well, no, I guess it's not really letting me, because it's not, you know, he's like, but I was like, no, I know what you mean. Like, you know, not being completely adverse to it, right? I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, I don't mind. Like, Karen was like, I wish I could, like, befriend the cats. You know, she's like, but the dogs are here, and they're not going to like it. I was like, yeah, but they're also, like, stray cats. They're not going to want to befriend you. They're going to run away. And she was like, ah, that sounds like a good challenge. So she might become like a wildcat. Yeah,
you
know, girl.
If it doesn't bother you guys.
Nah, yeah.
I would just be, see, my feeling would be, my real feeling, if that was my place, is what I said.
Right.
Like, hey, don't feed them. You know, they are resourceful. Right. And I don't need extra creatures around my house. And
right.
You know, but also, I'm not necessarily that. I'm not going to argue with a neighbor right after moving in. That's the tough thing. If there's something like that,
right?
Then you're like, ah, shit. I don't want to start shit.
Yeah, like if the cat boxes were on my property, I would have like moved them off. And there was one. There were two of them that were kind of right on the edge of the bushes. It was kind of on the line of my property, and I pushed them over onto the neighbor's property when I was trimming everything.
Yeah. But also, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. If you're okay with it, and it doesn't seem bad. I'm sure. What I would do in your place is I would just kind of wait and see.
Right.
Like, I don't really want them around, but you know, so far they're not doing any harm. So let's just see.
Right. Exactly.
If something goes on, they start killing all our birds, then we can talk. But for now, let's just.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
We'll cross that bridge if something happens, or they're like pissing on something that you don't want them to piss on. Because sometimes cats will leave stuff out. They start marking territory. A bunch of toms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They'll piss in your boots. You better keep those boots inside.
I know, right? Well, hopefully that our dogs will monitor that. You know, like Toby and Luna definitely don't. They've never been around cats other than our parents' cat, you know, and whenever our parents watch the dogs, like, their cat just stays outside, because it's kind of an outside cat anyway, so it just stays away. And if it does come to the door, like, both Toby and Luna, like, go nuts. They're, like, barking and stuff at her, so they're definitely, they're highly entertained right now with all the cats around, and all the deer, because there's lots of deer, too, so...
Yeah.
But, once we have the fence and they'll be able to run out to the backyard, and I think they'll do the job needed to keep the cats away, hopefully.
That's a chance.
And not that I mind the cats being around, but, you know.
Yeah.
The dogs are mine, so they get precedent.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, you got some friendly neighbors. That's key. That can really make things.
Yeah.
But there's a show like My Nightmare Neighbor.
Right, exactly.
It always ends in like someone getting shot or stabbed. Things just ramp up.
Right, yeah.
Like, as long as you don't share a fence with
crazy.
You know, that's brutal.
Yeah.
And I did see you have a neighbor two over, and I saw them working on boats and stuff and being loud when we were moving. I was like, perfect. That's what you want.
Yeah, right.
You're not the only one there. Last thing you'll see is some richy rich family.
Right, yeah.
They go, no, they're never making noise.
Right, I did notice that too. I was like, all right, that's cool. They're outside.
Yeah, they had like boats. Stuff, and, like, yeah, they were doing stuff. And... They had like a grinder going, you know. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like that's fine. You know, let's be lively around here in the weekends and evenings.
Yeah, that's cool. So, this old house. So it's been good though. You've been all right with like the road noise and
people
walking around, walking by.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. Like, I've been perfectly fine with it, and you know, it's not super loud. Like, it just becomes a little bit of the background noise, but our front of our house is really well insulated, so when those windows and doors are closed, it's like, it's pretty quiet. I mean, I'm sitting right next to the road right now. Obviously the mic's in my face, but like, if there was something really, really loud going by, you might hear it, but it's pretty, it's good. You know, we kind of noticed that right away, because that was one of the things we thought of when we came to visit the house the first time. I was like, well, it's right on the road, but the road is a 30-mile-an-hour.
It's more I mean, it's a main street, so it's a little bit slower, and there's a lot of people walking around, so usually people don't fly through there. And it was nice. When I was there, I saw, like, a bunch of families and couples walking.
Yeah.
It was, like, the nicest type of people you want to see walking around.
Right, exactly.
Is the school okay when the school lets out there?
Has
it been a million kids or no?
I guess you've been at work. Yeah, I get home later, you know, and so, like, Corinne gets home on Friday, last Friday, she, her friend, one of her best friends at Carver, lives up this way, so they actually took the bus together, and then her friend was like, oh, let me show, you know, I'll show you around the neighborhood and the different places, so the two of them walked around together, and then Corinne like, walked up to our house, and Corinne texted me, she was like, do you mind if she comes over and, you know, hangs out at the house for a little bit, because they were going to pick up her younger brother, who's at the little daycare up here, and he's, like, three or something, so I'm like, sure, and so... Yeah, so they walked around, hung out for the afternoon, and then went and got ice cream and stuff. And then, so I was like, oh, that's nice. You know, it's nice that she has someone she can walk.
She probably loves it.
Yeah. Yeah, to have a friend relatively nearby that she can walk to.
And to have a neighborhood, which she's never really had.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
It is a special thing. I mean, as older folks, we're all happy with, like, being secluded away.
Right.
And kids are kind of, too, but neighborhoods are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's nice. Like, that was cool. And I was really proud. She said that when she, like, because they went from, they got off the bus and they went to her friend's house first. And then, like, that way her friend could drop off her stuff. And then they started walking north from the school up to our area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of going some back roads and stuff. And her friend was showing her different things. And later, Corinne told me that her friend's dad was like, you know, like, oh, it was nice to meet you. You know, I'd like talk to Corinne, and her friend was like, she's like, I know what my dad will say. He'll say, like, that you'll be a good influence on me. And so, like, Corinne met her dad and like shook his hand and like introduced herself. And
like, sounds like he was like, oh, bad influence. Get away from her.
You're so polite. Like, he was like, oh, you're so polite. Like, I love that. You'll be such a good influence on my daughter. She needs some good influences. And then they actually on, I think on Saturday or Sunday, I think on Sunday they went to see the Minecraft movie together. And so, her friend's dad came up and picked up Corinne, and then they came inside for a minute. And so we met him, and, he was like, hey, your daughter was so polite. Like, she introduced herself and shook my hand. He was like, I really appreciate that. And I was like, yeah, me too. I was like, she told me that. It made me really proud. So
I was like, yeah, your stupid daughter didn't. She's rude.
She's so rude. Nah, but it's fun.
That's nice.
Yeah, this is like Corinne's friend, who's like definitely like the typical high school kind of girly girl. You know, like, is always like interested in different boys and like has different crushes. And yeah, she's
good.
Like,
I mean, that's,
know, yeah, right. It's just, but she's fun. She was like, you know, I saw her walking with her little brother. She's like holding his hand, and they're walking back down the street.
There's nothing wrong with that. And that's a good thing about being a kid that's open to things.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, Corinne's like us. You kind of, whatever, I'll hang with this group for a while. I'll hang with this group. You want to do some nerdy stuff? You want to do some jockey stuff? You want to play some sports? Right. Like, it's all good.
Yeah, it's like, as long as you're like a genuine nice person, nice, and friendly, nice people, that's all that matters.
Let's hang.
Yep. So yeah,
no, that's cool, man. I'm trying to think what I've been doing. I've been editing. I was complaining to you. I was bitching at you for doing it in a weird way, which you did do in a weird way.
I know, yeah. And I thought about it after you mentioned it to me. I was like, yeah, that wasn't very smart. I should just use the DJI.
It's because you have this beautiful camera looking at the side of you. And then you got the GoPro. Looks like shit next to DJI.
Well, it was like, I guess we did something where I did like...
Well, we had done that using the good camera. Because we couldn't find the other mic pack, remember?
Right, yeah.
And then all we were saying was, okay, we use the DJI as the... Because
the audio.
Because the Lumix is still... That's the better camera compared to those two.
Right, yeah.
But between the DJI and the GoPro, it's no comparison. The DJI looks awesome.
Gotcha.
And the GoPro looks like a GoPro.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were like, yeah, I did that. And I was like, wait, why'd you do that? I was like, you used the shittier camera, and now I have to sync sound 12 clips of you like doing a million takes. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this.
I don't know. I thought I was doing everything right.
I'm clapping, I'm saying the takes, I'm doing it.
It's great.
You should have let the camera run, for one. Because then you only got to clap once.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. The problem was that the GoPro was turning off for some reason. Like, I was like, I don't know why it's turning off. I couldn't figure it out. So I was like, well, it was lasting like 30 seconds, and then it would turn off.
It was God telling you to just use the DJI.
And I was like, okay, well, then I'll just turn off. I'll just start and stop each take, and I'll just say the take, and I'll do the clap track so you can sync it. And yeah.
But I think that, I mean, it looks all right.
Yeah.
But you did actually, and it's not that I was planning to not use that.
Right.
A revolt. Yeah. I was just in the middle of doing it. I'm like, oh, that's good. But you kind of did do a nice wrap up in the basement.
Right.
Like, we do all the fast forward, all the time lapse stuff, and then it's you sweeping in the basement. You go, well, that's it. It's been a few years, but it's been good. We're going to go, but, you know, here's on to the next thing. I'll see you guys at the new shop. I was like, that's kind of a nice ending for the video.
Yeah.
And then you actually did a cool silent walk around of the shop where you, like, open the door.
Yeah.
And look around. And so I might just end it there. Like, you say that, and then the next shot, the first time you ever see the shop.
Right.
Is you, you know, opening the door and walking in and it being, there is some of us putting stuff in, but it's.
Right.
You didn't do it. I don't think you shot anything on the first day.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it was.
So like, it's kind of it's kind of a filled shop being a little bit more filled up.
Right. Right.
So it's not that interesting of footage.
Right.
Like, I actually dropped it in and then went like, well, you know, I don't know how much there is here. And also.
Yeah. Yeah.
One aside is Mom really didn't want to be in it, and she's all over that shot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want to respect her in there. Even, you know, if she comes in and out, whatever.
Right, yeah.
But she was like, you're not getting me in this, are you? I was like, I don't, not much, Mom. But then there's a bunch where she's like sitting there talking to everybody. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah. No. But the main thing was, you don't see a lot of progress.
Progress, in the time-lapse,
which is kind of a key thing. You want to see something move.
Yeah,
right. Which was a Duresta thing. Well, which is a basic thing, but it was funny when I heard Duresta say. You want to see a
change, yeah.
You got, you know, just show the change parts.
Right.
So if there's a lot of us moving, it's kind of interesting, but we were just stuffing stuff into it.
Right.
You didn't see a room get filled. You saw a kind of room get a little bit kind of more filled.
Right, yeah.
So I think it's kind of interesting to have it go from you sweeping out the floor.
Yeah, move everything
and
out.
Going, and going, all right, it's been a good few years. We're heading on to the next one, and I'll see you over there. And then you kind of walking around the side of it, and then it's just fading to black.
Right.
Kind of leaving people like, oh, cool, I can't wait to see the next one. I want to go in depth. I want to see the shop.
Yeah, right on. I'm cool with that. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the main thing was, like, it's the ending of the old shop, you know? Like, yeah, there's a new shop, but really the whole video is about, like, this is the end of an
era. You were also reiterating things you had kind of discussed it throughout the thing.
Right.
You know, like, hey, you know, it's good, we had good times here and this and that. So it was kind of, it had already been said.
Right.
So it's like, you know, and the video is only 8 minutes or whatever.
Right.
8 to 10 minutes. So it's, that is, I think it would be good. It's pretty much done. So
sweet.
We'll have it up this weekend.
Cool. Right on. Well, next week, which is my spring break week, I'm going to be, like, really tackling the shop. There's a few other things we need to do in the house as well. So Nicole and I both have off the whole week. We took off. I'm off because it's school, but she had taken off the week because we were originally going to go up to her parents' house for spring break. And then we got the house, and then her parents were going to come down for spring break to, like, help while they were here.
Mm-hmm.
But then now they're selling their house in Vermont. So they're, like, using the time to prepare their house. So,
oh, dang.
Yeah. So we're just like, okay, well, we have the whole week to, like, do house stuff. So really I'm going to spend a ton of time in the shop, you know, bringing stuff out and starting moving things around so that way I can start building that main bench on the right wall. So, you know, depending on, what we're doing, if you have time, maybe we can film some of that or something. I don't know. Maybe I could also, like, set up a time lapse or something and just get some, like, video of it going in and out and use it for something else, or maybe some YouTube shorts or something. We'll see something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. We got to do a bunch of electrical work in the house. I had our dad's buddy Wayne came over and gave me a bunch of, like, you know, pointers and stuff. And he walked around with me and, you know, gave me his opinion on stuff. And, like, we were originally going to, we were saying we should, well, because right now the amount, the electricity coming in is 100-amp service, which is, like, fine for what we use it for. But if I'm running stuff in the shop, I'm like, okay, well, I want to have a whole other, like, you know, breaker box in the shop that I can run 220. So I'm thinking I want to have 200-amp service, so, like, double the amount of service that's coming into the house, so we can have plenty of electric.
Or you could run it just to the job.
Yeah. Well, so that was the thing. I was like, well, you know, that was one of the things I mentioned to Wayne. I was like, you know, we were thinking about converting from 100 to 200-amp service, which is really the only thing that we couldn't do as, like, you know, quote unquote professional homeowners, right? You know, like, all the stuff we can do on our own, all the electric and stuff we can do. You know, it's like, it's just normal stuff like changing plugs and running some new wires,
right,
and
putting
new plugs. It's no big deal.
Lamps,
you
know? And right, fans,
but changing but changing amps, like, service, that's something that BG&E has to do,
right?
Or like an electrician has to do. So that's like the pricey stuff. And Wayne was like, he's like, he said what he would do first is just like change all the outlets, you know, make everything grounded, because there's a lot of just like two plug outlets, you know, not the three prong. So change all the outlets, he said. And then he gave us advice about running like a new cable out to the shop and stuff, so we can have a box out there. And he's like, so our house is on public sewer and water and natural gas, so we don't, like, our heat is on natural gas, and so because of that we don't have like a full house blower, like running an electric heat, you know, around the house, because it's all radiators. And like the only thing that's really like drawing a lot of power in the house is like, you know, the washer and dryer and like the refrigerator, you know, that's it, because we have a gas range as well, our stove. So he's like, you don't really have a lot of draw of electricity in your house. He's like, so he's like, I don't think you need 200-amp service. Like, you know, it'd be different if you had three or four guys working in their shop every day and running multiple machines. But if it's just you out there running one machine at a time, he's like, it's plenty of power for that. So he's like, and you can always, you know, you can always up the service later if you need to. He's like, but I don't think you'll need to. He was very envious of our, like, big full basement, you know, because all you can see everything, you know, all the power, everything, you can get to everything. So yeah, and he said, you know, he gave me advice about running power out to the shop, because right now there's no power there. There used to be an overhead line that went above the door, but that's gone now. So but he said, yeah, just come out like above ground, run, you know, down and then into the ground, and then bury the line across, and then come up, you know, either inside or outside the shop, whatever is most convenient. But you know, he said you could bury a line. He's like, but I would, what he did and what we had thought about, and he suggested, was burying like a conduit, you know, so like a PVC or something, some pipe that's 2 inches or something, right? So that way you can run cable through it. You can change that cable out, right? So if for some reason, like, we wanted to run internet out there, then it would be just a tube that I could, like, string internet through, or whatever. I could put, you know, if the power wants to change, we could change power. Or if there's, like, you know, in 10 years some new thing, some low voltage or whatever, something happens and we want to change the power out, you know, the cable, we can just run new lines in that conduit. So so it was good. It was like all like positive good stuff, you know, like lots of positive stuff. So hopefully, knock on wood, that's all you know, that doesn't mean like some weird big negative thing is coming, but so far everything has been pretty positive with the house,
which
has been
good. Yeah, I mean, that's, and you could just run some stuff like that, but a couple hefty power cords.
Right, yeah.
You know, and no one's going to know, you know, as long as they don't listen to this, and this, not to say you will do that, but also you got to, you know, for that stuff, you got to call.
Miss Utility.
Yeah.
I've already done all that.
Okay.
Because we're digging all the trenches and everything. We're putting in fences. Like, I had to. And actually, it's funny. I put in the request for Miss Utility online. So you can do, like, an online request. And I basically, you know, they have this, like, map where you can, like, you put a red box around everything that you want tested. And so I basically did our entire property all the way out to the road. And I got back that, like, there's no, like, whatever it's called, like, no concern or whatever from all of the things, all the utilities that they sent out to.
Good.
So it just means there's like nothing, there's nothing from, in the way of what I suggested that I want. So, and that, you know, within whatever they say, the first like 3 feet or something, you know, because I said specifically I'm putting in fences around the perimeter of the backyard from the house to the back of my property.
Yeah, you don't have to dig deeper than 3 feet for anything.
Right, exactly. Really. Yeah. So yeah, I already got that and it's all, we're all good to go. So nothing in the way. And you know, like a trench that I'm putting from the house to the shop is only going to be a foot deep, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm digging down anyway. And usually actually if you're digging more than like 10 or 12 inches, that's when they say you need to call in to Miss Utility to make sure you're not. But if you're digging something above that, you know, it's usually fine. So
I hit something, but it was a cable line at the old apartment. And it was already flower beds. So I was turning over flower beds.
Yeah.
And I, in the machine, caught a line. And that was the internet going in our house. So it was only, you know, 6 inches deep in a flower bed.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, who's going to replace this? You know, and then I basically Xfinity, Comcast, was like, hey, we can, if it's your fault, well, you have to pay for this and that and that. I'm like, look, it was a line going into our house. It's not like it was 3 feet deep.
Yeah, right.
It was in a flower bed, 6 inches. I wasn't digging deep. Well, we don't know if that'll... I had to, like, get them to guarantee, like, no, you have to come out and fix it. I'm not going to pay for it, no matter what. You know, it's one of those things, like, I'm not paying for you to run another line.
Right.
To the stupid apartment that I don't even own. Come out and fix your shit.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
It might be... I'm like, it's not going to be... garden. We're not sure. We're going to have to assess. I'll say, we come out, assess, and then... make your decision.
Yeah, right.
Before you start doing stuff. Like, I don't know what to do, you know?
Yeah.
They're all shiesty
yeah. people. Yeah, so, you know, whatever. Like, there's nothing, there's no power in the shop already. So, you know, as far as I can tell, there never was, other than, like, the red line. So it's not like I have to worry about that. And our house, although, of course, it's right on Main Street, but it's also been here for 100 years, you know, so
yeah,
so you know, I'd imagine there were not like a ton of times that they're like putting utilities across the backyard or something, you know, so, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, I might be able to come over for a few days here and there, but I got the kids, but then I also, this is the longest, just so happens to be the longest homestand of the season.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, like, speaking of that,
it's like 10 games in a row.
Nice. So
tickets. Yeah, you better get them soon because the reserve days are getting farther and farther.
Okay. All right. How about next Tuesday?
Is that soon enough? I think that's fine. Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of what we're thinking because that's a day game. I think it's like one. It's like either a 1:30 or a 4 o'clock game or something. So although we have the whole week off and it, you know, we could do any of the days, but
dude, and you can try the value menu.
Have you heard of that, man? Heck yeah. It's awesome.
About time. Now, I don't usually talk about the O's because, I mean, I talk about working for them, but I don't negatively talk about them because that can only hurt me. But I was always upset, not necessarily just about the Orioles. I was upset at every team that traps you and then makes you pay a bunch of money.
Right.
You say all these things about fans and then you are hitting them with so much money, trapping them in and charging $8 for a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad they finally did something like this where it's $4 for a hot dog and $6 for a beer and $2.50 for peanuts and $2 for cotton candy. That's what it should be.
Right, exactly.
It's ridiculous to trap people in your in whatever place you're at and then screw them over because you know they're trapped and you tell them you can't leave or you can't come back in.
Yeah.
That doesn't say I'm happy you're here.
Right, exactly.
It says we got you, sucker.
Yeah.
That's all. It's like, in my opinion.
This is just what you have to pay and you got to suck it up. Right. Like, you either pay it or you don't drink beer and you don't eat food while you're here. You
right. know? And I mean, I'll give them props on Camden Yards. You can always bring in your own food.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, you can't bring in a hot dog, and you can't bring in a beer, and I mean, you can, well, you can't actually can't bring alcohol, but I'm saying you can't bring in a something that's hot or something. Right. You know, you want to be able to. I will buy your stuff if it's fair.
Yeah,
just be fair. Exactly. A hot dog is dirt cheap. Don't charge me $8 for a bun and a. You know,
right. A hot dog that costs you, like, you know, what, a 10 nickel. Cents or something. Like,
yeah, it's like nothing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, obviously I always say the biggest, like, the biggest heisty, you know, shiesty thing is the popcorn, right? Because that's like, popcorn costs nothing. Mm-hmm. And you're paying, like, $8, $10, $12 a box, you know, like. But I will say that anytime you buy popcorn anywhere, it's expensive. It's just what it is. You know, it's like a bucket of popcorn at the movies is $10. You know, a bucket of popcorn at the stadium is $10. At least it's like the same price, you know, it's the same ripoff. But you know, but yeah, if you get like a, you know, you get a hot dog anywhere else, it's going to be a lot cheaper. So, but yeah, that's awesome. I thought that was great. I saw that. Yeah. On the off season when they were talking about it, the value meal, I was like, how cool is that? You know, like just like a normal, you know, it's still obviously it's not like you're not going to say they pay the same price that you get it when you're at home, but
right, you understand. That's, you know, you don't but you expect should that. You should be able to get a drink and a item of food for under $10.
Right. Yeah. Or about $10. Yeah. Like if you can get a kind of a general meal for $10, you know, like that's cool.
That's fair. Everyone thinks that's
a cheap
fair.
Meal. Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's fast food prices.
Right.
Yeah. You're looking for a drink and some food for under $10.
Yeah.
That's what just, it should be. Just, and if you want to get your kids something, you shouldn't have to pay it. You know, you can get them a pretzel and a hot dog and a drink. And it's like about $10. That's what it should be. We're already here. Right. We already spent money.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's not like it's going to take away from, like, all the more expensive stuff. Like, they're going to have all the fancy stuff, the boogs, you know. And they're going to have, like, you know, the good, like, you know, sausages and the crab cake sandwiches and stuff, and they're out there, and you can still buy them. Right, people you can, will.
Right,
you
know? Definitely. But it's, I think it's main. It's a family thing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Young, thing, yeah. I mean, young people are going to get whatever they want.
Right.
Yep. And people with money are going to get whatever they want. Mm-hmm. That's not who you're trying to support.
Right.
You're trying to support regular folks and family people, because that's what who go to a ballpark.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like,
high prices in all things really only screw over poorer people.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's like anyone with money, they don't care. They don't care about a food price or a ticket or a fine. Right.
Yeah.
You're really only targeting people who are already struggling. Right. So if you are lucky enough to get people to come in and watch your team, don't continue to abuse them with high prices, which is all it is.
Right. Yeah.
But they're making changes, and a lot of people should do the same. A lot of places should do the same.
Yeah. I think it's great. Yeah. I saw that and I thought, you know, everyone that I've heard talk about it, like, you know, ESPN and as well as like all the local, you know, sports stations and radios and stuff, like everyone's super excited about it, you know, and it's like, it's only helping the Orioles. You know, because it's only like making it that much more accessible. You know,
it should be, especially when everything is more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You should figure out a way to just get people in the seats.
Right. Yeah.
And they will come back a lot more and probably spend the same exact amount of money they were going to spend with high prices, because they're going to come twice as much instead of going to one game and going, wow, we spent $200 at the ball game. Like, we're not doing that again this year. Like,
yeah,
no. Like, instead, you spend $60.
Yeah, right.
For you and your family. Then you go, all right.
Yeah,
and then you come, like normal... you come back three more times, and you spend $250. It's like
Yeah, yeah. A normal night at the park, you know, and the seats are full, and the people are there, and like, you know, that's what you want.
Yeah. I think it's a great thing.
Is that area up on the top deck, the third deck, like out over left field, is that still closed off or is that open now?
I don't know. Opening weekend it was open.
Yeah, okay. So, all right.
I don't know what the deal is with that.
Well, hopefully you know, the Orioles figure something out, cuz they're not
I can doing great tell right you now. which is pretty public knowledge, but we've been talking about it a lot at work, is this is the last year with the old scoreboard.
Oh, really?
Or at least the scoreboard will be there.
Yeah,
we're getting a new screen and audio all over the park.
Oh, all right. Nice.
So we're going to get a big upgrade, and that's the main thing. Our whole control room is going to be upgraded, and we're going to get a real nice screen, apparently.
Nice.
I don't know exactly what and how big, but...
Right. Is that a digital scoreboard now? Is it all digital?
What do you mean? Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not like analog, like old school, like flippy numbers or whatever.
No, the out-of-town scores... On the right field wall.
Right.
That's always been a digital board. And then we obviously have the two boards, the top and bottom board.
Right. Okay.
But I don't know what they're going to do there, but I would think they're just going to put one giant board. That'd be kind of cool.
Right. So that's what's changing is the big scoreboard.
Yes. And they might actually add other things. But like the presentation board, game presentation, what we do is going to be apparently real big and real nice. And
what's up with the left field wall? Like, I know that they brought it back in some.
Yeah.
But they didn't, like, fill it in with seats. Is it, like, an open area for kids? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, there's, there's a splash zone.
Okay, yeah.
And which last year you had Mr. Splash. He was kind of right next to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He was in that little wedge, and he would spray people, which became a huge, like, hit.
Yeah, right.
And that section was actually always packed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anytime there's, like, a hit. Or anything, he sprays the fans and they go crazy. And now that's two sections or three sections. That whole area is
nice.
So Mr. Splash has a whole section there.
Dang.
A whole area. Like awesome. Half that area is his area to run back and forth. And then the other half is called like the kids' porch or the kids' deck. So yeah, okay, if you have tickets for those sections.
Right.
Your kids can run down and go in there.
Oh, that's awesome.
And hang out and try to, you know,
catch balls and stuff. That's great. That's so cool.
Yeah, so that
I saw that. I didn't when I heard that they were moving the wall in some, right? Cuz it was in and then they moved it out a bunch and then they were doing some happy medium, you know, they're bringing it back in some. I was like, "Man, that's a big like construction job to happen in the off season, you know, to put more concrete and new seats back in."
Right. No, they left the wall there.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Cool.
But
how is that like? How's it being monitored? I guess there's like an attendant.
I don't know.
There
I'm sure they probably have the guys who work the seats over there,
right.
The ushers and stuff. They probably keep a bit of an eye on it.
Okay.
Or maybe they're at the door.
Yeah.
Go onto the porch area.
Right. Can like anybody from around the park bring their kids there to like?
No. No. You have to have tickets in that section.
Okay. Okay.
I think that's my idea. Yeah. Because then you would just have it. It would be. I don't know. It'd be like crowded and slammed the whole time.
Right. Right.
So maybe you pay a little bit more to like, hey, this is the section with the kids, yeah, the kids can go porch. Down.
Yeah,
which is kind of cool if you have like an older kid with friends or something.
Heck yeah.
Like go sit in that thing. Hey, you guys run. Hang out there. Go get close. You're on the field, basically. It's awesome. Go get down there. Hang out.
Heck yeah.
Get your glove and go stand in there.
Yeah, and the chances of catching a homer there is like huge.
Yeah, pretty good.
Left field wall. That's like, you know.
That's it.
And the only reason why, I mean, I think like center field, you know, has gotten a lot of homers just because that's the closest wall, like under the bleachers, you know, or on the bleachers, whatever.
But no, it's pretty, it's cool. Nice. No, it's all good stuff. And
nice.
So
yeah. Right on. How's the presentation of the mountain going again? Cause I know like
we did the full mountain show.
We did the
we did the full lights and his song and the video.
That's awesome. Yeah, so that's Felix Batista, our closer, who has been out.
Her for 2 years.
Yeah, right, for recovering from Tommy John surgery for the last, like, year and a half or whatever, all last season and half of the season before that, so.
Yeah, no, nice. We planned out the full show for him, so he got the lights and the music. Nice. He's the only one that gets the lights, you know, so.
Yeah. That's awesome. I don't think I've ever been to a game where that has happened.
Mm.
So I'm excited to, you know, maybe get to one this year. I'd like to come to, you know, 3 or 4 like we normally do throughout the season.
Yeah, it's a good time. I want to make sure, I kind of want to go to one this year too.
Mm-hmm.
I used to tell Caitlin that I do one a year with her. And right, we did for a couple and a couple we didn't. But now, at least go with Maeve, maybe. She's a little bit older now, so she can kind of understand stuff. And
right, yeah.
I can start to teach her rules and things, like to different games and stuff we watch.
Nice, yeah.
Like when we were watching, you know, football this season, I was starting to teach her, like, hey, this team's our team, and they got to get to that line, and we want them to not hit our guys, you know, that type of stuff. So she was kind of rooting at the right places, so.
Nice, that's awesome.
And then I was teaching her baseball while I was watching the other day. They were on the road, I was like, yeah.
That's great.
Or no, I was watching the highlights. I'm like, yeah, that's our team. We want them to get hits.
Nice.
And then we're in there on this side of the field, and you want them to catch them, and, you know, that type of stuff.
That's great. Yeah. That's fun. It's like, yeah, that's one of those things. It's just if you can like cheer along with your kid, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, it's just, that's fun, you know. And Corinne likes, you know, she played softball, so she likes baseball well enough, and now she's kind of like old enough and like where she's into it a little more, you know. So like last season during the summer when we had off, like we went to a couple games together, just her and I.
Yeah.
And she liked the, you know, the VIP treatment we had a little bit with, you know, knowing you and knowing some of the people who know you and getting, like, you know, seats moved around half the game and stuff. That was pretty sweet. She was like, oh, this is great. But, you know, she obviously knows the game well enough to, like, follow it along if she's interested in it. So it's fun.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, I kind of, we'll see if how much my kids like it. But if I'm still working there, you know,
yeah,
they could come to, I could probably get them into any games they want. So it's right. Like, hey, you want to, if they're older, you can hang out by yourself, like in like high school.
Yeah, right.
Go find a spot. Here, I'll get you a spot. Go watch a game. I'll see you after the game.
Yeah.
You want to watch baseball? Go ahead.
Like, it'd be sweet. Drive
down. I'll drive you home.
Yeah. Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. Cool, man. Well, that's fun. I'm excited. Baseball season's back. I've been kind of following, you know, I've been following along with them because the nice thing is, like, anytime they win, there's a good highlights video that's, you know, 7 or 8 minutes long, you know, basically just follows the game every, you know, right after the next day. So I always watch those. And
And
I do have, with our new Xfinity service, we have Peacock and we have Apple TV. What else do we have? We downgraded our phone, our AT&T. We don't have HBO Max anymore.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit of a bummer, but we have, so I think it was like Netflix and Peacock and Apple TV all came with our Xfinity service, or not came with it, but, you know, we had a little bit of an upcharge for the subscription. So we have that. Yeah. So I'm excited because they both have, you know, now with like Prime, because we have Prime and Netflix and Peacock.
Oh, you can watch it. Oh, no, you already watched that. Well, yeah, it's just nice to have. Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a little bit more, like, some more sports streaming stuff, so mm-hmm. that's cool. I'm excited for that. I did we had with HBO, it was playing, it was, like, playing the Capitals game when Alex Ovechkin got the tying goal, or maybe even the winning goal when he took the record from Gretzky. And I went to turn it on, and it was like, you know, you don't have a subscription. Sign in. And I was like, oh, no. Nicole said she had just that day, like, changed our AT&T service, so we no longer had Max. I was like, ah, dagger. Like, can't watch the game where Ovechkin gets the score. And that was the night that he, like, got it, too. It was, like, the night after he tied. I was like, oh, man. Oh, wow. And then also it was something else that was like on. I think it was the NCAA men's basketball national championship game was like, it was on like CBS, but you know, like we don't have.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, so I wasn't
able to watch that. Well, now you can have a nice, just get an antenna. You're in town.
Yeah. Right. So I can get like the normal.
Yeah. Standard Amazon. TV. Go on Amazon and get a $20 digital antenna and plug it into your coax on the back and.
Right.
Or a lot of my HDMI now, so.
Yeah, right. So it'll give us all the, like, normal standard channels.
Yep, yep.
Nice. Free channels.
Sweet. Yeah.
Cool. All right, man.
Do you remember what I recommended last week?
Last week, you recommended Tested the Pip-Boy Fallout.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I just finished, and I think I've recommended this show before, too. I just finished season 3 of White Lotus.
Oh, okay.
It's a super popular show. They don't need me to recommend it, but as always, we're just sharing what we're into right now. It's such a good show, and that it's weird and kind of funny and dark, and but they have every year now, and since it's a popular thing, they get stellar, awesome casts.
Right.
You said you watched a little bit with Nicole, and
it's, I watched some of the first season. Yeah,
What season is it now? 3.
Okay.
It's in Taiwan, I think. Second one was in Italy. But I like that they actually go to the places, because, like, the whole crew goes somewhere for, like, 6 months.
Nice.
So it's beautifully shot. And it's really, you get into it. Like, it's like world building. You know, you, like, feel it. It's all, they're there. And you know everyone's there. And they're, like, living in these awesome hotels and beautiful islands and stuff. And it's just good. It's kind of funny and definitely weird. There's a lot of weird stuff that goes on, and then that's great. Great show. So check it out.
I just watched this, just before we started the podcast, I was just like finished dinner and I was scrolling through some, Instagram reels, and there was like a reel of a guy telling his girlfriend that he was like too tired to watch the season finale of White Lotus. He was like, "I'm just too tired, babe, tonight." She's like on her laptop, and she like closed. She's like, "What? You told me you weren't going to overexert yourself today, so you wouldn't be tired so you could watch it." He's like, "I'm sorry." He's like, "Can we just wait till tomorrow?" She's like, "No, we can't wait till tomorrow." And she like puts her hands in her head in her hands, and then she like looks through and she's like, "Are you recording me?" And he's like, "It's just a joke. We're going to watch it." And she like got up and ran over toward him. She's like, "I told you we're not doing jokey couple things." It's really funny. She's all stressed out. You're like,
"Until this gets a million likes."
Yeah, right. Exactly.
What was I going to say? Yeah, I mean, it's a good couple. I mean, yeah, my wife likes it, but I also like it. What was I going to say?
I don't know.
I like the creator of it, Mike White. He's kind of funny. Did I talk to you about it? He's the guy who was in he's like the weird blonde guy. He was in School of Rock. He was in the Napoleon Dynamite, but remember the weird space one they did after? He was in that. He's kind of been in things, but he's also a writer.
You said in School of Rock, was he like his friend?
Yeah, like the nerdy friend.
Yeah, yeah. And he's married, dated Sarah Silverman.
You gotta like get your stuff together, dude. Like he's that dude. Yeah, he's that guy. So he's always been kind of funny and kind of cool, and he writes these weird shows that are really well done, really like beautifully shot, and they're very cool.
Nice, right on. Cool. Yeah, I think you've talked about him before. I can't remember what for, but
White Lotus.
Oh yeah, right, probably.
It's like you did it 3 weeks ago. But the finale just came out and it was good, and I enjoyed it. And I think a lot of people get really into it, not because it's weird and you kind of don't know where it's going, but the first one set up that there's a murder, which he was like, "I didn't really want to write that into it, but it could just kind of happen where I wanted to kill off this person."
Right.
So now it's a thing in each season. You kind of start the beginning of the season with like a body floating by and someone screaming. And then the rest of the season's like, how does this devolve into someone dying? And who do you think's going to die? But yeah. Nice. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Sweet. Right on. Okay, so my recommendation this week, let me pull up my photo, is the Where is it? Okay, there it is. So Wrangler Star, who I, you know, I like Wrangler Star, and I've recommended him before in the past. He just put up a video, I think it was yesterday, and it was, it's called "The Shop Wasn't Working, So I Tore It Apart." Mm-hmm. Which he started out the video by basically saying, like, he's now lived in this, like, he's been in the shop for some time now, and he's realized, like, there are things he wants to change. So he's going to start, like, changing, you know, the, like, orientation of things in the shop and moving things around and putting new things in. So I'm really excited to, like, see him redesign his shop after, like, living in it for a while and then realizing, you know, what doesn't work and what needs to change. So I thought that was kind of cool. His first video was just like him putting in this little, like, 18-inch by 2-foot, you know, table thing near the door, right? So he, like, walks in the door and he always, like, wants to put some stuff down, like a bag or his, you know, whatever he has, you know, like his EDC, just like a house. You walk in, you want to put some stuff down. So he's got, like, he built a little thing. So it's, like, it's a simple video, but I think it's going to be, like, a series of him, like, doing more stuff around the shop and reorganizing it and reorienting it. And, like, I love shop infrastructure videos. Anytime, like, Adam Savage does one on Tested, I'm always like, oh, it's great. You know, like, yeah. I'm building this new thing here, and I want to rearrange this and redesign this. And so I'm excited. So, yeah, Wrangler, like I said, he just put out a video yesterday of you know, redesigning the shop and tearing things out and putting new things in. So hopefully that will lead to a
I mean, that's why you need to do some, just let the camera run while you're doing stuff. I'll give you the DJI and stuff back, and you can just kind of talk to it and put your mic on, and you know you can work for whatever, let it run for 2 hours while you're out there.
And I'll just you know, and I'm fine to do that. Like, I can, you know, move it around a little bit just to get different shots and a few different angles, and just just see what I see, you know, move things around. And because there's always, like, you know, in the midst of all of that chaos, there are little things that happen that are significant. You know, it's like, okay, for an hour, I'm just moving boxes around, you know, moving shit around just so that way I can like see what's there. But then I realize something, and then I move something, and then it's like, oh, that's the thing that happened that needed to happen to do this thing, you know? So, like, in the corner of the shop, there's a stack of pallets, you know, they're just, like, in the corner. Those have got to go, right? I got to move them out so that way I can have that whole free corner, you know, whatever shape that is, you know, like 4 feet by 5 feet or something. So,
you know, I'm trying to think of like what background looks best. It's kind of a cool look.
Yeah.
The old wooden garage with, like, the angled slats.
Mm-hmm.
Or you put something to wall it off a little bit.
Right.
You know, and then you have a little bit more room to nail things to, and maybe that's a thing. I don't know what. It could be more boards.
Right. You know. Yeah, I wouldn't mind, like, you know, hanging pegboard again, because I like having the pegboard, because I can hang all sorts of stuff and having that stuff.
Yeah, but, like, above and around it, like.
Yeah, right. And also just, like, having, you know, using the pegboard from the other shop for the last, you know, whatever, 10 years, like, I know what I used all the time, and I know what basically never got used, you know, so, like, I can reorganize stuff based off of that, you know, which is kind of, that'll be kind of fun. Be like, I know this, you know, a certain amount of screwdrivers need to live on the wall, and a bunch of, like, the scissors and my pliers and the, you know, the, like, I don't know, the files, and I'm trying to think of the things that hammer, like, I use the hammers all the time, you know, but, like, there were a bunch of random things that were on there that I didn't use nearly as often, you know, but there are also, like, some things that are kind of one-off things, like calipers and, you know, like the draw knives I used more often than not, you know, so I use them all the time, but there are definitely some things that I think I can rearrange and move things. And, you know, so it's that, like, first order of retrieval, the things that are right there within reach, which are important. And, you know, over the years, those things have, like, kind of changed a little bit and moved. So that way I knew exactly where those things were and I was able to reach them really quickly. And that's, like, that's, I think, the hardest part right now is not having access to all my tools. So I'm like, okay, I want to, like super glue, you know, like a coffee cup breaks a handle. I'm like, well, where's the super glue? Like, I don't know. It's somewhere in the shop, you know, like, you know, so like all that stuff, like all the stuff that makes me like a handyman is all just like packed away. So I can't do anything. I'm like, oh, so annoying.
Yeah, you gotta do like, get the, what is it? What are they called? Those boxes that Adam Savage is selling now.
Oh, all the Sword of Moes.
Yeah, yeah. He's got like, you can have you can have one rack of those.
Right. Yeah.
And with all the hardware, of, like hardware, glues.
Yeah.
This, that, that.
Right. That's the other thing, like wood glues and stuff. Like I had to, one of our doors, the door into my bedroom, the one of the vertical. Whatever, main, you know, like a door is made out of like a rectangle of hardwood with like, then a thin, you know, wood in between that fills the gaps like a window.
Yeah.
And the thicker, harder wood closest to the hinges was like splitting at the top and splitting down through the wood, you know, so it was like from the top of the door down, like, you know, almost maybe a third of the way down the door. It was like splitting. And so you know, I think I had some like, what did I use? I think Mod Podge or something, which is like a glue and a, you know, like a craft supply thing. So I filled that with glue with Mod Podge as much as I could. And then I was able to find a couple, clamps, and I was able to like clamp it together and it worked, you know, and it is like just like white glue, but you know, not being able to be able to like fix that because I didn't know where my glue was and I didn't know where all the clamps were well. And I didn't know like all where all the perfect stuff was. It was like, ugh. So annoying. So we'll get there though. Like last weekend was our first full weekend here, so we had to use that time for like doing random stuff and unloading boxes and all that. And now we're, you know, now this, we're coming on the second weekend into a full week off with spring break. So I'm really excited to be able to work in the shop a bunch and
yeah, at least get get a quarter of it or half of it usable. Yeah. Then we can start shooting. Right.
Yep. That's the goal. And I do need to make a trip back over to the old house to like still throw some stuff away and all, but we'll see when that happens. Cool. All right, man. All right. Well, that's it for now. Everybody, thank you guys for hanging out with us and hanging in there before some new videos are coming out. I've had some good comments on my Instagram stuff with people like sending congratulations with the new house and, you know, talking about their excitement and stuff, which is fun and heartwarming. So thank you to all those people who've reached out. And if you want to see what's happening on Instagram, you can follow Devin and myself at The Art of Craftsmanship and at the Art of Camera Guy to see what's happening, you know, on a day-to-day basis around the shop and what's happening in videos. And then always head over to YouTube and check us out over on YouTube at The Art of Craftsmanship. Let us know what's happening over there and, you know, check out the videos and like and subscribe and comment. And this the move video will be coming out, so if you see the title come up that like it's all over or whatever sensational title we decide to use, if you're listening to the podcast, don't worry, we're not actually ending the Art of Craftsmanship. We're just you know, playing toward the algorithm to get some more views on that video to talk about the end of the old shop and the beginning of the new shop. So should be fun. And then lastly, if you want to support the channel further, you can always head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and you can support us there. And for everyone who does support us over there, we are eternally grateful for all the support, whether you're supporting us financially or just listening and sharing. All of that really helps, and it helps us to keep on going, making stuff, and feel good about putting stuff out in the world. That's all. All right. Cool. All right, Dev. Well, thanks for hanging out, man. Always a pleasure.
All right, brother.
All right, man. And everybody else, thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you next time.